So I told this story several years ago, but many of you didn't hear it, and I think it's a very touching story that we all need to hear again. So there was a wife, and she was faithfully sitting by her husband, who was coming in and out of a coma. And this was going on for months and months and months. And this woman continued to stay with her husband faithfully through this very difficult time in his life. One day, he came to and he motioned for her to come nearer. As she faithfully sat by him, he whispered, eyes full of tears. He said to her, "You know what, honey? You've been with me through all the bad times. When I got fired, you were there to support me. When my business failed, you were there. When I got shot, you were by my side. When we lost the house, you stayed right here. When my health started failing, you were still here by my side. Do you know what I think?" "What, dear, what?" She gently and with great excitement and warmth filling her soul, she said, "What, dear, what do you think?" And he replied, "Honey, I think you're bad luck." Okay. I have a few chuckles. We're not going to talk about luck this morning. We're not going to talk about luck. Instead, we're going to allow Jesus to reveal the key that opens the door. The key that opens the door. Do you want the floodgates of heaven to open up? Come on, do you want the floodgates of heaven to open up? We want that. Well, Jesus is going to reveal a key to us that opens the door for us. And I'm going to go ahead and just tell you what it is. The key is faithfulness. That's what we're going to talk about. Not luck. We're going to talk about faithfulness this morning. So let's open up our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to continue our forward thinking, our expository journey through the prophetic word that's getting us ready for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This week, we're going to study the letter that Jesus wrote to the church in Philadelphia. I know some of you, Jimmy's over there going, "Philly, man, yeah, Super Bowl champs." It's not that Philly, Jimmy. That's not the Philly we're talking about, not the 2018 Super Bowl champs. Philadelphia. Philadelphia is 27 miles southeast from Sardis. Here's the map again. We started in Ephesus. We're making our way around Thyatira, Sardis. Now we're down here in Philadelphia. We have one more church left in our journey through the letters to the seven churches. But we are in Philadelphia. Philadelphia was named after its founder, Attalus Philadelphus. Thus, Philadelphia. And the city still exists today. I've actually been there myself, and it really is an actual city. There are cars and people and the whole works. And the name of the city today is Alashir, because it's in Turkey. It's an Islamic country. The name of the city is Alashir, which means, it means house of God or city of God. City of God. Isn't that interesting? They actually have about 3,000 houses there. 250 of them are Greek, the rest are Turkish. And surprisingly, Christians actually have formal places to worship still in this city, Alashir, or ancient Philadelphia. So that's not a normal thing in a country with 99.999 whatever percent Muslim population. Here's the revelation. You got kind of the backstory, you know where we are. Here's the revelation that Jesus has for this church in Philadelphia. Jesus says to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write. Now Jesus is going to speak about himself here. He says, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. Jesus revealing more of just who he is. See, Jesus is reminding the church that he's not simply just a good man. He's not just this teacher, this kind of prophet that walked on the earth and had some really good things to say about God and did some fancy miracles. Jesus is reminding the church that he and he alone is holy and true. It's like Scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2. It says, there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Jesus is saying to the church, he's reminding the church that I am that rock. I am the Lord. I am the one who is holy and true. Jesus also says something else about himself. He reveals that he is the one who holds the key of David. So what does that mean? He's holy and true. We kind of can get our minds around what that means. But what does this mean, Jesus, that you are the one who holds the key of David? Well, we kind of understand what a key is. A key gives someone control or authority to open something up, to move forward, right? To walk through. A key represents control. A key represents authority. Therefore, having the key of David would give control of David's domain. Some of David's domain would be Jerusalem. David's domain would be the city of David, the kingdom of Israel. David's domain would also be the lineage that would usher in the Messiah. Jesus holds that key, that control, that authority. In other words, he's the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. That's who Jesus is. He's the ruler of the New Jerusalem. He's the Lord of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the fulfillment. He's the Savior of the world. He's reminding the church of just who he is as he's about to speak more and more to the church and as he's about to come back, as he's about to return. Christ is saying, look, I'm the fulfillment of what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 22:22. This is who I am. Where Isaiah said, I will place on his shoulders, he's speaking prophetically of Jesus, I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. Jesus is reminding the church and making sure they understand that this Messiah, this Savior that was prophesied about, who can open and shut, who no one can stand against or push back or deter, that that is who he is. He is the one who holds that key of David. Jesus, and Jesus alone. It means that he's the fulfillment of the promises of God, and Jesus alone has ultimate power. So when we understand who Jesus is, I want to ask you this question. Do you know him? If he's the one with ultimate power, he and he alone is the one who's holy and true. He is the one who is the Savior of the world, the Messiah. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you have the key? His name is Jesus. It's available to you. I pray that you do know him. By the end of our gathering, that if you don't know him, that you would come into knowledge of him and relationship with him. Here's the crazy thing. We get it. Okay, Jesus is God. He is all powerful. He is God. There is no other. He holds the key. Of course, Jesus holds the key. He's Jesus, right? He is God. He's the one who died but rose again. He's the one who's at the right hand of the Father. He's the one that's coming back. He is Jesus, right? Okay, so of course he has the key, but here's where it gets really crazy. In his sovereignty, this is what happens. Jesus has also given us, his church, his ambassadors, he's given us the power to open and shut things. He's given it to us. In other words, he's given us a key. Jesus, the one who has the key, who is the key, he has given his church the key also. And he told us this. In Matthew 18:18, don't you love this? All the passages like Samuel 2:2, Isaiah 22:22, Matthew 18:18. I started just getting these things and putting them down. I'm like, God, this is crazy. This repeated number thing? I don't know what he's saying in that. Maybe he'll speak something to you and all of that. But these things, they start to jump out at you after a while, right? So this is what he says, Matthew 18:18. The craziness, the sovereignty, the wonder of God, and the role that we have in this world today. Jesus says this to us. He says, I tell you the truth. You got to really get this, is what he's saying. I'm telling you something that's so important. I'm telling you a truth that you've got to grab hold of, and you've got to live by this truth. He says, I tell you the truth, whatever you, he's not saying whatever he binds now, he's saying whatever you bind, whatever you close, in other words, or shut on earth will be bound or shut in heaven. And whatever you, just you, regular person, well, you're not so regular anymore. You're a peculiar people because you're in Christ Jesus. It's no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in you. That's why Jesus can say this stuff about us, right? He's saying, and you, whatever you loose or open on earth will be loosed or opened in heaven. That's amazing. That's incredible. It's an amazing invitation. But I want to say, it's not simply an invitation for us to say, hey, if we want this, let's grab hold of this truth. Let's get this key and let's start loosing and binding things. It's actually an obligation that we have as the people of God walking on this earth today. We are His ambassadors. We are His hands and feet. It's not just, hey, if we want to go to that next level and be one of those crazy Christians, we'll start binding things and shutting things and opening things and loosing things. No, this is what our role is now here on this earth, as we are called to bring the kingdom of heaven. We are called to bind those things that are dark. We are called to loose the light of Jesus Christ into our world. And it's okay to clap about this and say, hallelujah, praise God, amen. We're all on board with this. It's okay to do that, by the way. It's really, in fact, I kind of like that. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's encouraging. Because I'm pretty excited about this. Very excited about this. It'll change the way you pray. When you get this, praise God, thanks Kenny, it'll change the way you pray. It'll change the way that you get up in the morning and walk out there into the world when you understand that you have this role to play. Isn't this how Jesus even taught us to pray? He says that, hey, we're called to loose things, bind things, to open things, to shut things. He said, and when you pray, pray that way too. Pray that the things on earth will be like they are in heaven. Pray for heaven to come down to earth. Pray for the fulfillment of heaven to happen right here, right now, in your time, on your watch. Pray that way, live that way, talk that way. This is a call that we have. Jesus is the key. He has the key that opens that door, the key of David. He has it and He is it. But He's also said, but church, you're the ones now on this earth. You're my representatives, and I've given you that key. I've given you that responsibility to open and to shut. So I want you to do something. If you really believe this, I want you to tell the person next to you, I have the key. Tell them you have the key. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I have the key. I have the key. You have the key if you're in Christ Jesus. You have the key. So are we living in this reality, though? Okay, now we know Jesus has revealed it to us again. He's reminding us of it. But are we living in this reality? Are we praying out of this reality? I'm going to tell you what, the Lord has been continuing to change and transform my prayer life as I press into prayer and as I pray. And this is one area, man, that I just see more and more and more, that there's a time to beg, there's a time to plead, but there's a time also, and I think it's more often than not, that we are to tell. We are to shut, we are to open, we are to bind, we are to loose, we are to speak the Word of God and the presence of God and the light of Christ Jesus into situations. We're to be these people right here that Jesus is talking about. Do we really understand the power and the authority that we have in Jesus? We have it. You're not some weakling. I know that the enemy wants you to feel that way. He wants to remind you of all the stupid things that you've done, all the ways why you're disqualified from being the one who comes in authority. But you got to just say no to that stuff, and you got to continue to speak truth about who you are in Christ Jesus, that you are a child of God, you're the redeemed, and Jesus has given you the key, and you have the authority to push back darkness and the obligation to do it. It's an exciting way to live. It really is. I've talked about this the last few weeks. You know, Dave Caldwell loves to do this kind of stuff, and we have three fewer psychics up and down Gilbert Road now because of binding and loosing that are going on right here. Because he's taken that key. He's taken hold of the key, and he's using it. Jesus wants us to grasp this and live in this. So what do you see that's out of agreement with heaven? You see it all around you. We see it all the time. Things that are out of agreement with heaven. What are you doing about it? When you see it, what are you doing about it? Just pointing it out? Or are you taking the key that Jesus says that you have? And are you taking action? Action in the area of prayer. Action in the area of spiritual warfare. And then also just practical action. Are you stepping in and being the hands and feet when something is out of agreement with heaven and bringing heaven into that situation, bringing heaven into that life, bringing heaven into that family? What are we doing when we see things out of agreement with heaven? We're called to bind the darkness, to loose the light of Christ, to shut the door on the devil, and to open it up for Jesus to move in power in our lives, but also in our community and in our world. That's our role. You have the key. We are the key now. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to use it. How many of you are going to use it? All right, let's do it. Let's do it. If this church all took that key and started using this key, our community would change, and it would change faster than you could even imagine. It really would. If all of us were praying this way, acting this way, loving this way, things would change rapidly. And so I'm here to say things will be changing rapidly in this community because this church knows now that they have the key, and you already said you're going to use it, right? Amen. Amen. So the church in Philadelphia, this was a church that was grasping it. They understood their role. They understood that they have a role to bring heaven to earth. And so they were living that out. They were grasping it. They were living in this. And so here's what Jesus has to say to this church that was getting it. The reassurance to the church in Philadelphia. He says, I know your deeds. And I know we've read that many, many times. But every time I read that, it always touches my heart. Because it reminds me Jesus knows. He knows me. He knows you. And he's crazy in love with us. And he cares for us. He's aware of us. He's been watching us. And he's been watching this church faithfully stewarding their calling of being the church, being the ambassadors of Christ right there in this city called Philadelphia. He says, I know your deeds, and see, I have placed before you now an open door that no one can shut. Okay, so I have a question for you. Are you tired of getting the door slammed in your face in life? As you're moving to advance in loving Jesus and bringing Jesus and being who he's created you to be who you are, say what you know, give what you have. I mean, people slam, the doors get slammed spiritually and even physically sometimes in our face. That's what happened. Jesus is saying, when we grab hold of that key and we grasp it and we start using it, that he will then step in and he will open up that door that used to be slamming in our face. He will open up that door and no one's going to shut it on us. That's what he's doing for the church in Philadelphia. He's saying, I know, I see your deeds, I'm watching them, you get it, you're using it, you're moving in it, and that door that's been closed, I'm about to open it for you, and no one's going to shut it, and you're going to see me move in a new way, in a powerful way. This is the kingdom of God. This is the economy of heaven. This is the sowing and the reaping principle at work with this church in Philadelphia. The open door Jesus is talking about is the open door of the kingdom of God. It's the open door for effective ministry in their community. The open door for his presence. And Jesus is going to reveal now that the key that really opens those doors, that key that allows us to operate in this way of binding and loosing, of opening and walking through these doors, is faithfulness. Check this out. Continuing in our scripture, Jesus says, I know that you have little strength. Ever have those days, those weeks? Jesus knows. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Jesus is saying, you have been faithful even when you're tired. You've been faithful even when you've hurt. You've been faithful even when it was hard. You've been faithful. You've been faithful. And so Jesus says to this faithful church that was tired yet was pressing on, he says to them, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Those are the people that are slamming the door in their face that he was just talking about earlier. The door that's now being opened for them. Those that were persecuting them, that were coming against them, that were giving them a hard time, that synagogue of Satan, those religious people. And he's saying, look, those people that were putting you under their feet, kicking you around, those people are going to be the people that are going to be bowing at your feet. There's a day coming now when all of that is changing because of your faithfulness. Because even though you're tired, you didn't quit. Because you grasped it and you've grabbed that key and you've been my ambassadors in your world today, even when it wasn't convenient, even when it didn't fit in the schedule, you still pushed through and you did it. Even when it hurt, even when people thought you were silly and it was ridiculous, those people that thought that, instead of kicking you around, they're going to be the ones bowing at your feet. See, there's a big change coming, Jesus is saying. Everything's about to turn around. Everything's about to change because of faithfulness. So he says, you who are faithful, your enemies will bow at your feet. You who are faithful, who love Jesus, even when no one notices, you're the ones who will be lifted up. You're the ones who are going to be used in powerful, amazing ways. You're the ones who are going to see miracles. Jesus is reminding the church that faithfulness moves the heart of God. Faithfulness causes the Lord to take action and open things up that no one can shut and shut things that need to be shut in your life that no one can open. Faithfulness is a powerful tool. It is a key that moves the heart of God. It always has moved the heart of God, and it still moves the heart of God. Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. It's an amazing key. So, do you have that key? Do you have it? Come on, get it. Get it. Get it, get it, get it. So, Jesus continues with his message to this faithful church. He says in verse 10, since you have kept my command to endure patiently because of your faithfulness, he's saying, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I'm coming soon. So hold on to what you have. In other words, remain faithful. That's what he's saying. So that no one will take your crown. So again, faithfulness. It's the key that opens heavenly blessings for the church. Faithfulness also closes the door on heavenly judgment. Do you see that? In that passage? It opens the door for blessing. We've been talking about that. It opens the door for moving forward. But faithfulness also closes the door on judgment. Our faithfulness. The world's going to go through a trial. We're starting to see that. We're in the book of Revelation, right? You're expecting this kind of stuff now. You're starting to hear some of it. The world's going to go through trials of epic, apocalyptic proportion. It's going to be serious because when God does something, when he cleanses something, when he makes something new, he does it thoroughly and completely and perfectly and lovingly and ultimately beautifully. But there is a world that's going to experience this apocalyptic judgment that's going to happen, that's been prophesied. Everyone is going to feel it. Jesus is saying, except for the faithful. Except for the faithful. The obedient, those who not only talk the talk, but are walking the walk of faithfulness with Jesus. He says again in verse 10, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on this earth. So come on, church. Are we going to grab hold of that key of faithfulness? We're going to be those people who are going to say, I'm going to follow you no matter where you're going, how hard it is, how tired I get. I'm going to grab that key of faithfulness, and I'm going to not only walk with you, Jesus, but I'm going to run with you into this amazing future. We're going to put Jesus at the front. We're going to put him on the throne of our lives. We're going to be those faithful ones. We're going to put him on the throne of our schedules and on the throne of our hearts. The hour of trial is coming, but not on the faithful. Verse 8 says, not on those who've kept my word and who have not denied my name. The hour of trial is not coming on those who have kept my command, verse 10, to endure patiently. So again, does it matter how we live today? Is our future affected by how we live today? It is. It is. And that's a good thing, because we have all we need in Christ Jesus. We have all we need for life today, to live today. We have all we need for godliness in Christ Jesus. His grace is enough. We just lean into him. We just live with him and for him. And we get to be those people who have that key of faithfulness, that will open and shut doors today, that will do amazing kingdom things today, and that will lead us and usher us into an amazing future. Our present matters. So Philly must have done something right this last year. And I'm talking about, you know, the Eagles, right? Because they won the Super Bowl. So they had to do something right. And we found out that it's because they really have a lot of praying Christians on their team, because that's what I'm going to say the reason why they won. It had to be that, because the Patriots just typically are definitely have more talent and are just a better team. So it must have been prayer. It must have been the as you can tell, I rooted for the Patriots, but now I'm a fan of the Eagles because they were bold, man. Bold about their faith, man. Just saying it. I love that. So they had something going for them in Philly, right? 2018 Super Bowl champs, but so did the church in Philadelphia. They must have been doing something right, because Jesus didn't have a rebuke for them. No rebuke for the church in Philadelphia. A big reassurance, but no rebuke. So we're going to dive right into the reward. Jesus has this amazing reward for his faithful church. He says, him who overcomes, I will make a pillar. Come on, get a picture of this. Let this get in your mind's eye. Get a picture of what Jesus is saying right here. You who overcome, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. So he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There's an amazing reward coming for the church that grabs that key of faithfulness, that walks in that key of faithfulness. Incredible rewards. If you just closed your eyes even while that scripture was being read, you're like, this is amazing. And what we see, the big picture reward, is he's promising nearness. He's going to make the faithful a pillar in his temple that won't be removed, that's going to remain with him forever, next to him, close to him, where he resides. It's a promise of nearness to the faithful. Closeness. Intimacy. The image of this pillar in the house has me thinking of Psalm 92. It talks about trees and stuff like that. They're like pillars, right? Psalm 92, verses 12 and 13. Say, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. That's kind of like a pillar, right? The righteous will flourish like a palm tree, will stand like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. Planted in the house of the Lord. Planted in the house of the Lord. Not just passing through. Not just there on the weekends. You know what I'm saying? But planted in the house of the Lord, and they will flourish in the courts of our God. Come on, now this is where and how I want to spend eternity. Planted in his house, like a pillar in his temple, not being moved and flourishing. Uninterrupted fellowship with Jesus, never leaving. That's the reward for the faithful. That's the reward for us, church. Uninterrupted fellowship with Jesus. Mark Hatfield tells a story about touring Calcutta with Mother Teresa. and they were visiting the house of the dying, where sick children are cared for in their last days, where the poor line up by the hundreds to receive medical attention. Watching Mother Teresa minister to these people, feeding and nursing them, those that were left there to die, Hatfield was overwhelmed by the sheer magnitude of the suffering. The suffering not only of the children, but the suffering that Mother Teresa and her co-workers also faced as they ministered day in and day out. "How can you bear the load without being crushed by it?" he asked Mother Teresa. And she replied with this. She said, "My dear senator, I'm not called to be successful. I am called to be faithful. I'm called to be faithful." See, Mother Teresa understood the key of faithfulness. She grabbed hold of the key of faithfulness. She lived day in and day out as a key of faithfulness. And she made a pretty big difference. Pretty big difference. Church, this is our call today, to be the faithful ones. That's our call today, not to be successful, not to look a certain way, but to be faithful. That's our call today, to not grab hold of the key of success, but to grab hold of the key of faithfulness and to use it. To not grab hold of the key of popularity, but to grab hold of the key of faithfulness and to use it day in and day out. To be the real deal by making Jesus first and also by making Jesus famous in our world. Every day, all the way. And when we use this key of faithfulness, rest assured, God has promised us, Jesus is reminding us even today in Revelation 3, that when we live this way, that He will open the doors of heaven. And we will walk through doors and into circumstances and opportunities that are completely miraculous, supernatural, other than because we are walking through a door that He has opened and that no one and nothing can shut. So I want us to do something. I want you to say this after me if you want to. This is totally voluntary. I want you to say this after me, and I'm going to say it kind of with some oomph, you know what I mean? With some excitement, because I want to speak this into my life and over my life, and I want to make sure that my brothers and sisters know that I mean this, and it's powerful when we speak things out. We've talked about that just a few weeks ago. So if you feel comfortable, say this after me. Say, "I have the key, and I will use it." All right, let's say that one more time, even a little bit crazier and louder. More convincing now. Say, "I have the key, and I will use it." Amen. Let's stand up. Amen. Lord, we thank You that You have given us the key. We thank You that You are the key, and that in You, God, we have the key. We thank You that Your grace gives us all we need to be those who walk faithfully, that it's not about us pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps and just gutsing it out in our own strength, but God, it's about leaning into You and allowing You to lead us in and through this life. We thank You, God, for this key of faithfulness. We thank You, God, for this call of faithfulness. And we thank You, God, for the intimacy that it creates, the intimacy that it leads us into, this intimacy with You, this closeness, this nearness with You now and forever. God, I thank You that as we use this key, that we will see the world changing around us. God, that as we use this key, that we in this town, in this city, will also be a city of God. Because, God, You'll be moving in such powerful, miraculous, beautiful ways as darkness is shut and as the light of You, Christ Jesus, has opened up for this community to experience and know. God, we choose this day to be Your people, to hear Your word, not to let it go in this ear and out the other, but, God, to say yes and amen. Have Your way with us in this. We are Your people. We're the key. Use us for Your purposes, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen. 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 Declare.